Ladies and gentlemen, it is baseball time in Texas. And you're waking up with KB and Heatherly on 92.1 Hank FM.
He is a radio professional, too. He is the voice of your Texas Rangers. He is the voice of the Temple, Globe Life Field, the 2023 championship, world championship run. It is the legendary Hall of Famer, Chuck Morgan, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The Texas Rangers Executive Vice President of Ballpark Entertainment and Productions.
You got it.
Listen to that.
And the voice of your Texas Rangers.
Yeah, baby.
A big title, and I've never worked in my life. So there you go.
It is an honor to have you in studio, Chuck. We've had you on the show before. We've talked, you know, leading up during that championship run. We have you in first and foremost today to get you, because you're in the Texas Rangers Hall of Fame.
Texas Rangers Hall of Fame.
Which, absolutely, well deserved. You were in the Information Display and Entertainment Association Hall of Fame.
That's called IDEA.
Yes.
And they deal with electronic scoreboards and game presentation and things like that.
We have other Hall of Fames to get you into. Yeah, this is the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, correct?
Yeah, a huge honor. I mean, just to be nominated for something like that, when you look at some of the people that are in there, just a huge honor to be nominated for something like that.
But you're going all the way.
It's a who's who.
You're belonging there. That's your people at your place. Come on.
Well, very good. So what do we need to do to make this happen? Because you should be in every Hall of Fame that we know of. I mean, we need to call Cooperstown and get you going in that.
Well, you know what? Part of me is in Cooperstown. My microphone is in Cooperstown for my 3,000th straight game back in 2020. So it's up there. And but this one here, this would be, since it's Texas and Texas Sports Hall of Fame, would really be very, very special. But, you know, people just need to go to their website, and they do require membership for people to vote. But that's how it goes, and I think I'm on a list of 20 guys that are nominated. I'm the only baseball guy, so I'm
really
excited about that.
So how many get in? I know this is going to be determined ultimately in the fall.
I don't know how many get in. I don't know if it's 5, 6. I don't know how they do that. I don't know how they calculate who gets in, but I'm one of 20.
That's amazing. Okay. All right. TSHOF, Texas Sports Hall of Fame, TSHOF.org. All right. We'll get the link on there and direct all the Hank fans to do the due diligence that absolutely we're going to make this happen.
Yeah, we'll sick all the Hanksters on there.
Well, I really appreciate it. That'd be great.
So we get a plaque out of that deal. Do we get a bronze bust? Is there a free dinner at the Marriott?
A nice dinner down there in Waco at the Hall of Fame, and get an exhibit space and things. So I've got plenty of stuff I can exhibit. So a lot of bobbleheads and a lot of other things. So.
Well, okay, let's talk about your tenure with the Rangers, because I only know, when did you start? When was your first season with the Rangers?
I came to the Texas Rangers in March of 1983. And what's kind of funny, the way I got here was about 2 weeks before that, I was introducing Barbara Mandrell on the stage at the Grand Ole Opry, and then 2 weeks later, I'm introducing Buddy Bell playing third base for the Rangers. So,
and you've been here minus the 1 year in Kansas City, right?
I was in Kansas City for 8 months.
Okay, all right. Yeah, all right. And then, minus that 1 year, you've always been here. You've always been the voice, the soundtrack to every amazing moment. Not so amazing moment.
Yeah, that's okay too.
Thick and thin, but boy, for a little Red Shoe Rangers, I mean, it just wouldn't be complete without the voice of Chuck Morgan echoing through there. As you look back in your career, talk about it, just being a part woven in with the fabric of the Rangers here in North Texas.
You know, because of what I did in Nashville, I got to do a lot of things here that probably other public address announcers wouldn't get to do. You know, when we first put in a video board, we were the second team in Major League Baseball to put in a video board. That was in 1984, old Diamond Vision scoreboard at Arlington Stadium. And due to my background in Nashville, hey, you're doing the video board. So I got to do that. And then being a huge baseball fan and a collector of things, and suddenly I'm in charge of the promotional giveaways and things like that. And then being able to interview players and things like that for fan gatherings and things, our fan fest and things. I became really close with the fans, and I've always been a man of the fans, and I think that's played a huge role in this, because anything that happens to me like this, it's a result of being close to fans. So I really appreciate it.
Well, yeah, and last Sunday you had it was Down Syndrome Day.
That's fantastic. We had a dance cam in the middle of the game, and it was absolutely awesome. We've got a usher who works for us, and she kind of led it. We called her the dancing queen. Her name is Hannah.
Yep.
Did a fantastic job, and she led the dancing, and it was really special. It was a nice day, and Jake Berger's family and his foundation done a great job with that.
Yeah, he is an amazing person. We were blessed enough to meet him. My son also has an extra chromosome, so the Rangers have a little special extra place in our heart. Not that they weren't a fabulous organization, and yourself
was,
as well.
It was pretty cool to see the players come out for pregame activity yesterday. They had on the Down Syndrome t-shirts, and it was a really nice day, a real nice thing.
Give away special hats to go along with the tickets and everything, so so you kind of orchestrate and promote and do all these wonderful things for all these wonderful causes, so it's not just the big guys on the field and sports, it's also
that's the fun part of the job, getting to do things like that and making days special for folks that come out to the ballpark.
Yeah, and you, I was reading this, you have six grandsons.
I have six grandsons.
Whoa.
And there's another one on the way. We don't know whether it's a son or a daughter yet, but we've got six grandsons.
Right? And your beautiful wife, Star, are we saying all the prayers for a granddaughter? Not that all the grandsons aren't a blessing,
She keeps saying there's not many more chances we're going to have, and she said this is good. Hopefully this is the one.
Yeah, you get three more, you can feel the team.
Exactly. Yeah, see? Yeah. That's right.
Exactly.
So how long have you been married?
We've been married for 20 years, so.
Wow. And how long did you date before you popped the question and went on for Mr. Morgan?
About a year, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A year? Yeah. That's a good amount of time.
Well, you know how long the Rangers were here before they got a ring? So sometimes patience. Sometimes patience and perseverance.
That one's a lot harder than the other ring. Mm-hmm. So that one was tough.
As we talk about our Rangers All-Star break, the first half was, get it going. You're trying to push the car and pop the clutch and get it going fully, and you had one side going and then the other wasn't. And so the All-Star break happens, come out just red hot. Great one. Had a bump over the weekend against the Phillies, taking on Diamondbacks now.
Phillies got a real good team. I thought about it Saturday watching the game. I thought, man, we may see these guys in the World Series.
Right.
They got a real good team. So, we got to kick it in gear. We're 6.5 back in the division. I'd much rather win the division than be a wild card, but we're still in the wild card race.
Yeah. And we had a little of that during that, a 9-game streak, was it? But it was pretty close out of the gate.
Right out of the All-Star break.
You started getting that 2023 feeling again for a minute, didn't you?
Yep.
So we keep that rolling. We got pitching almost arguably better than we did on paper.
And we got the best one going tonight. Here. He's very special. He's got a 1.38 earned run average, and he's in the running for the Cy Young Award, so he's... Nathan Eovaldi's.
You'd think you'd talk about DeGrom when you're saying, but it's Nate. Trying to get it rolling in the right direction for that. You talked about your history with the Opry. You know how to do this in this room. You've done this before. And not only did you work in country radio, you worked with the legends that we play here at Hank FM firsthand on the stage there at the Grand Ole Opry. Tell us about that time. We've talked a little bit when we've had you, but...
Probably the most special time of my life, other than being a part of a world champion baseball team. I was there at a very young age and was around a lot of people that were very talented and had hits in the 50s and 60s. I got to do the Ernest Tubb Midnight Jamboree. I got to do the last show of the Opry on Saturday nights with Marty Robbins quite a bit.
Ooh.
Marty always worked the last portion of the Grand Ole Opry because he would race stock cars at the Davis County Fair, and then come out and do the Opry show. But just being around people like that. And back in those days, and you all know this has passed us by, but being where I was, I got to be a person that got to play the first record for a lot of people, and a lot of first records for Barbara Mandrell and things like that, because they would bring the old acetates out before they were records.
They call that breaking it.
Exactly.
Broke the song.
Yeah, and if you watch an old movie like Patsy Cline or Loretta Lynn, they show going around to radio stations and taking records by, and that's being where I was. They'd go to dinner and then bring their acetates by. So,
and those would only last for a few plays, or how much life did you get out of
that? Playing about three or four times.
And then,
but it was. In fact, I got a picture. A lady was asking me about it yesterday of me with Alabama, and their first record came out, and they were. in my studio in the pictures, they've all got faces and they're focused because it's the first time they'd ever heard a record on the radio.
Ooh.
And so, but it just stuff like that was real cool. But, you know, every Friday and Saturday night, the Opry was a special deal.
My goodness. So the jump from radio to then sports and all, how did that get?
You know,
because are you a Texas native? Or
No, I'm originally from Southern Illinois, which Farron Young told me there was more hillbillies in Southern Illinois than ever were in Nashville. So then I felt like I was accepted there.
There you go.
But no, while I was in Nashville, I got to do the Nashville Sounds baseball team, and the guy that owned that team that started it up in the late 70s came to Texas as the vice president of marketing for the Texas Rangers, a guy named Larry Schmitto, who was the baseball coach at Vanderbilt University. And he called me one day. I had done the PA for him, and he said, hey, I know you got a lot going on, but how about coming to the big leagues with me? And I thought about it, and I had, you know, at that time I did four hee-haw appearances and had the Nashville Network was just starting up. And I said, Larry, I got a lot of things going on. I think I'm going to stay put. And then I thought about it for a couple of weeks. I said, why don't we play records when I'm 65 years old? And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. Then I'd always loved baseball.
So, yeah.
But I had so many great friends and great times in Nashville. It was a very tough decision. But to come down here and be a part of this has just been unbelievable.
What a run! What a story! And Hall of Fame worthy, and whatever Hall of Fame that you should be nominated for all of them, and we should be able to vote you in easily for all of them.
Come on, we're doing it.
You know, to for you to say that, it's very special. But again, like, and I'm a guy, and as I told you earlier, I have worked in two places in my life, and I've never worked, so I have fun all day long. So.
Really, that's wonderful.
And you have the best seat in the ballpark, too.
I tell all the fans when they come in there, I say, it's a tough place to work, as you can see.
Brutal.
By the way, if you're ever out at Globe Life Field, too, I mean, you're one of those, and obviously don't, you know, let's not treat it like an aquarium. Don't bang on the glass while you're doing your job. But I know you invite people in all the time. You can come by. You can see, you know, just from the windows alone,
similar
see
you
working.
You guys have here, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, what we get on our sidewalks, though, here
downtown.
Yeah,
it's a little different. We have some.
We don't invite those folks in a lot.
You know what's good for me is I open up before the game and then after the game, and that goes back to my days working with Roy Acuff and Minnie Pearl. First time I was on the Opry, they said, you be good to those people out there, and they're going to be good right back to you. That's what's happened to me.
Amen.
And having worked at three ballparks now, I get people that were little bitty kids at the first one, and they're now grown up, and they're bringing their kids by, and I get to hear so many great stories of sitting in the aluminum hot bleachers at Arlington Stadium, and we were there for Nolan Ryan's this and that, and we were there for... We saw Will Clark do this. So I get to hear these great stories, so it's really special.
So what if we run into you out in Weatherford, like at the Aldi, or do you hang out with Taylor Sheridan on the weekends? What's going on?
No, I'm at the HEB in Willow Park a lot. I'm there. I've spent a lot of time in Weatherford. And I got a couple of grandsons that live out on the west side of Weatherford, and I'm at all of their sporting events when I can be there. And so, I'm out there in Weatherford quite a bit.
Yeah, there's no signs of slowing down or any intention?
No. You know,
because your pipes are in peak performance, man.
My wife said, how long are you going to do this? And then they'll be fans say, how long are you going to do this? And I said, I come to work at a ballpark.
Sure.
I have fun. I get to watch a game tonight, get free Cokes and peanuts. And so I told my wife, I said, the minute I start messing up a name or a number, let me know that I'm messing up and it'll be time to walk out. Other than that, they'll take me out of there in a box or something.
If applying that same rule to this show, we were done about 3 years ago.
We need to update
I like your
LinkedIn.
Standards. It's a wonderful model for us in all the broadcasting as well. There's nobody like you. There's no other sound that fits at that ballpark. I'll do Jimmy Christopher. It was the weirdest season ever. Couldn't have been happier to have you back. And that was now a long time ago, so it's been a great run.
You know what happens when you get Texas in here?
Yeah.
Right in here?
Yeah.
It's hard to give that up.
Yeah, it anchors you. Well, and you got Texas, and the team Man, it wouldn't be the same without you. All of this posted online and get you. We'll get you in that dang thing.
Appreciate it.
Did they give you a jacket? Is there a color jacket?
You know, I don't know what they're going to do. I've been down. I went down for Jim when Jeb Sundberg was inducted. I've been there, and it's a real nice thing, and you get to see a lot of. I got to see a lot of guys that I've had baseball and football cards of when I was growing up that are down there. So it's a very special thing.
Appreciate the time. Thank you ever so much.
All right.